Hello, Pod. I'm Chris Hewitt, and welcome to the latest episode of the Ranking the Magazine podcast crossover, from which four Empire writers get together in the pod booth and discuss the filmography of a director or an actor or a franchise. And this episode is dedicated to an actor, an actual actor, Golden Globe winning actor, one of the biggest movie stars of all time, and the star of some such stone cold classics as Eraser, The Sick Day, an Escape Plan. I am, of course, talking about the Austrian oak, as Clive James once said, a condom stuffed full of walnuts, the one and only wickedly talented Uber Snooper Looper. Arnold Schwarzenegger. I always laugh at my own jokes. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Arnie himself.
Hooray!
I think he looks more like a walnut stuffed with condoms, but...
How would that even... Like,
I don't know.
How do you do that? How would you stuff a walnut with condoms?
We'd need a separate
episode. In fairness, that'd be easy, because a walnut shell comes apart, you just put the condoms in, you close it up again. But then you're left with a round, wrinkly thing, and I think it's a bit rude to say that that's all that Arnold Schwarzenegger is.
That he is so much more. He is so much more than just a round, wrinkly thing. Isn't
yep.
he?
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
So, I don't really know walnuts. So there's a shell, right?
There's a shell.
And then there's a walnut inside.
Correct.
Describe the walnut.
It looks like a brain.
It looks like a... Oh, I know the walnuts. Yeah. Right, okay. So they're quite hard. So you'd have to drill into the walnut. And then somehow... This is an episode of Mythbusters.
This is overly complicating walnut removal, I feel.
It really is. I haven't even introduced you guys. I am so derelict in my duties. So I'm joined by three huge Arnold fans. Nick Desemlian, who has met the Austrian oak.
I have, on a couple of occasions. I think met might be a charitable. I stood next to him and shook his hand on one occasion, but he didn't say anything.
He's been on set of an Arnold movie.
I have been on set of, Sabotage.
Arguably the worst Arnold movie. We'll get onto that, I'm sure, at some point in
Sabotage?
The show.
The name of that film changed many times. It was called Breacher when I was there.
That's
it,
right.
It changed at least three times in a conversation I had with him about it. So
it was 13 to start with, right?
12. 10.
No, it was 13. It was 10. It was 10. 10, that was right. And then they realised, genuinely, the producer told me on set that there weren't 10 people.
Yeah.
So they had to change the title to Breacher. But then Jack Reacher came out, so they changed it again to Sabotage.
No, it went back to 10 before it went to Sabotage.
Oh my God.
Presumably they were going to cut some characters so that there were 10 of them.
This is already way more Sabotage talk than I thought there was going to be on the podcast. I'm also joined by Helen O'Hara.
Hello.
What's your Arnold... Establish your Arnold credentials.
I have none, because every time a chance to meet Arnold or go on set of an Arnold movie comes up, I am stampeded by the colleagues to the left and right of me. It has not, therefore, happened for me yet.
You've never... What about the time he came into London to do the Last Stand promotion thing?
No, you all took the tickets and didn't invite me.
Well, this is awkward.
She's not wrong.
He gave us a sheriff's badge, Chris. Do you remember? Have you still got yours?
No.
Yeah, we interviewed him for the podcast.
Yeah,
he gave us each a sheriff's badge.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, you were in the room. How do you not remember this? It was you and me and Arnold Schwarzenegger in a room. How do you not remember this?
I remember that. I don't remember being given a sheriff's badge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe you're not the real sheriff, Nick is.
Yeah.
And so you didn't get
maybe
one.
You shot the sheriff.
Yeah.
But I did not shoot the deputy, and that's important.
Sure.
That is important. Also joined by James Dyer, who is... I mean, I'm an Arnold Schwarzenegger fan. I'm a big Arnold Schwarzenegger fan. But you're the biggest Arnold Schwarzenegger fan.
I love him.
You are.
He does.
Yeah, you have. You've seen all his films at least once.
I have.
Even the terrible ones.
Yes.
Especially the terrible ones.
Oh, yes.
And you have.
Have you seen Hercules in New York?
Yes.
Okay.
I love the bit with the bear.
Okay.
Have you seen the episode of The Streets of San Francisco?
I actually haven't seen that. I've watched Cactus
Town.
Jack. I've watched Stay Hungry. I've sat through loads of shit.
Cactus Jack. Purely because I saw it as a kid and it destroyed me. Nearly made it into my top 10.
Yeah, it's not in mine.
Didn't.
I feel like there's about 8 or 9 films we've all agreed on.
Yes.
And then there's a couple of wild cards.
I've seen your top 10s and it's interesting because I think Arnold Schwarzenegger, you can break his career down into 3 parts, right? Mm-hmm. So correct me if you
sure.
don't like my theory. There's the Arnold the action star in the 80s and
yep.
kind of early 90s, but mainly the 80s, where he killed everybody on the planet at least twice and became, along with Stallone, obviously, the biggest action star in the world.
Sure.
All right. Then there's family-friendly Arnie,
mm-hmm.
in which he makes a group of execrable
Some of them are fine.
Some of them are fine. Good comedies and action movies, which is edges are dulled a little bit, but they still make fun of that huge, larger-than-life persona. Then he takes the break.
Yeah.
All right, he still makes some action movies in there as well, but predominantly he's aiming himself at families, not in a weird way.
Right.
Then he takes the break to...
Be governor of California.
Whatever that's about.
The world's like eighth largest economy. Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. And then he comes back and makes a whole bunch of movies. There's a more, I don't know, serious side in which he's trying to stretch himself as an actor. What do you think? Have I nailed that?
I think that's fair. I mean, obviously there's a little bit of overlap, I would say, between the first two periods.
Well, he used to alternate, didn't he?
Yeah.
He used to do an action film and then a comedy.
And similarly with the new period, I think there's occasional harks back to stuff. Obviously, Terminator 3, that kind of thing. Harking back to stuff he's done in the past. But yeah, I think he's looking for something... Well, apart from anything else, he doesn't feel comfortable maybe doing huge-scale action at his age, because he's not a young man anymore. I don't feel like this is being overly controversial. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, he didn't get the greatest reviews for all of his comedies and therefore might not want to jump wholeheartedly back into comedy. So he had to find something else.
I don't think he... He's actually weirdly more proud of his comedies than he is of any of his action films. Things like Junior in particular. And for all the problems Junior has, it is actually a very good comedic performance from him. But Twins is one of his all-time favourite films. So
True.
He has a box set. I've said this on the podcast before. He has a box set of his 10 favourite films. It includes Ben-Hur, Titanic and a bunch of other stuff. But on there is Terminator 2 Judgment Day and Twins, which are the two films he is most proud of, and apparently he includes
Twins is
the 10 best movies
Twins
of all time.
Twins is his best comedy,
yeah.
So that's probably why he threw in a comedy and an action. But people forget that Arnold Schwarzenegger starred in a Robert Altman movie,
mm-hmm.
The Long Goodbye, mm-hmm. Long Good Night.
Starred is a very, very loose term of what Arnold did.
So he did have an art house face.
He
only lasted about 10 seconds of screen time
as a heavy, and he's in his pants.
Yeah.
But it's art house Arnie, so I think that is the fourth phase, the 10-second cameo.
Okay. It's like Sly Stallone in Bananas. He starred in Bananas. No. But yes, he was around for a long time before before he really hit it big with Conan. You know, he's in an episode of The Streets of San Francisco.
What's he doing that?
I think he kills someone. I think he kills a woman.
That monster.
It is also worth bearing in mind, and I think people would say for granted, that he came to acting quite late in his professional life. He had already gone to the top of two careers before then. He had become the most successful bodybuilder in history, and then he became a multi-millionaire through his property business before he even became an actor. I mean, he puts us all to fucking shame, really, doesn't he?
Yeah, he really
on
does.
Every level, but, you know.
Hey, not physically, pal.
I've been to the gym twice this week.
And he, like, learned how to drive tanks and stuff.
Well, yes, in the Austrian
Army.
His book, yes.
Yeah.
His book, yeah. Which is weirdly narrated by Stephen Lang. It's very unnerving.
The audiobook.
Yeah, the audiobook. Arnold reads certain sections of it, but Slang does most of the narration,
wow.
And it's very disconcerting.
Because it would be very tough to have that voice in your ears for 12 hours.
It would be amazing.
This adds further credence to my theory that Arnie will be in the Avatar sequels.
Yeah, as Slang.
I genuinely think he will. Yeah, there's a great passage in his book where he fights a cat.
Wow.
A cat jumps at him.
Which book's that?
Total Recall.
Oh,
Total
yes.
Recall,
I forgot. Ironically enough.
Partial Recall.
Working title was True Lies.
Was it?
No.
It should have been.
It should have been.
Yeah.
It should have been called I'll Be Hardback. And then I'll Be Paperback.
yes,
well, hey, there's still time. He can do a sequel. Thank God.
That's amazing. Another Arnold story I like about his wholehearted dedication to training for movies is that he taught himself not to blink whilst firing weapons. You must know this, Jimbo. You must know this story, that he would go down for the Terminator because he decided, because he was a robot from the future,
yeah,
the natural human inclination when you're firing a gun is to blink. And he figured, well, he's a robot. He wouldn't blink. So he went down to the firing range and shot thousands upon thousands of rounds and taught himself not to blink.
Has Daniel Day-Lewis done that? I think not.
No, but Kate Beckinsale told me that's one of the reasons why she wore sunglasses in Underworld, was because you blink when you fire guns, and so when you're wearing sunglasses, no one can see you do it.
Clever. Although she was out after dark, so she did look like a wanker.
Yeah. She was a vampire. Give her some slack.
I mean,
I don't remember her wearing sunglasses in Underworld.
She does. She also mentioned that they were lucky people in The Matrix.
Mm, oh, that's right.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
I mean, maybe she just wore sunglasses in between takes while she was firing guns at people. Who knows?
That's a solid name drop. Not really Arnold-related, but I'll let you off. Does anyone have an Arnold-related name drop that they want to get out of the way now?
I mean, which one do you want me to particularly
Not you, not you. For the love of God, not you. Anyone else? Anyone, you've met people who know Arnold, you have facts about Arnold that you would like to drop on here?
You've got a bunch, haven't you? Because you did a feature about people who've been killed by Arnie on screen.
Yeah, it doesn't mean I learned anything.
You spoke to Sven, though, didn't you?
Yeah.
Sven Ole Thorsen.
Sven Ole Thorsen. So we did a big Arnold celebration when he came back out of retirement, essentially with The Last Stand. We put him on the cover and we shot him. And James, you spent 4 years, I think, with him, pretty
you
much.
You were in the entourage.
I was conjoined with him for, that's very good, for a long period of time.
Yeah, so I came up with a feature called Arnie Killed Me, which I interviewed a dozen people that Arnold has killed on screen over the years. And that's how I interviewed the likes of James Earl Jones, Miriam Margolyes, who else? David Patrick Kelly, Sully from Commando. And one of those people, as you so correctly mentioned, was Sven Ole Thorsen, who is an old, old friend of Arnold's who has been killed by him in about 6 movies. And sometimes twice in the same movie. It's so he was a dude. That was really, really fun. So, but did I learn anything? No, I don't think I did. Anyway, let's get on to the business of ranking Arnold's films. We're going to try as best as we possibly can to go film by film.
We can skip some.
Obviously we're going to skip some. We're going to Eraser has been erased.
Yeah. Oh, come on, I've got some things to say about that.
You really?
I watched it again recently.
Why?
I can't remember why. It was for work.
In preparation for this, presumably.
I've met the alligator from Eraser.
The CG alligator.
No, the real one.
It was
a mixture of two. The animatronic one is hanging above Arnold's pool table in his office.
It's going to be a lot of name dropping.
There is.
Alligator so based name dropping.
It's not luggage.
Yes. I like Eraser solely because of the gun. It's got this. It's called a rail gun. Mm. And it's. I'd forgotten. I remember the bit where it fires like coils of smoke and lasers and all kinds of crazy stuff. But I'd forgotten that it can also X-ray. It's an X-ray machine.
Yeah.
And there's a point in Eraser where Arnie uses it to X-ray a cat.
And who wouldn't?
He doesn't deliberately. He's not trying to X-ray the cat.
You can't be too careful with cats, isn't it?
But the gun is cool. The rest of the film's not good.
Okay.
Let's move on.
So let's talk about... Let's start off... In fact, there are 4 phases to Arnold's career. There's a pre-Conan phase as well, in which he made movies like Pumping Iron and Stay Hungry and Cactus Jack. If you're listening to this in the States, it is known as The Villain over there, in which he and Anne-Margaret and Kirk Douglas... Have you ever seen this film? It's a real curio. Basically reenact a live-action Warner Brothers cartoon complete with... Kirk Douglas is the evil baddie, Cactus Jack, who's trying to win Anne-Margaret away from Arnold Schwarzenegger, who plays a character called, and I'm not kidding, Handsome Stranger. And there are gags where Cactus Jack, literally like a live action Warner Brothers cartoon, paints a tunnel onto a bit of rock. A Handsome Stranger rides down the fake tunnel, and then Cactus Jack gets onto his horse and rides into the wall. That's a good joke. Killed me when I was a kid, but I think it would be shit now.
I want to watch this.
Sounds great.
It's not aged brilliantly.
I imagine it hasn't.
It's not a Stone Cold classic.
It's number 11 on my list. It's not the best. But there was something guileless about Arnold in those early days, don't you think?
He was called Arnold Strong, wasn't he, at one point?
And when he did Hercules,
and he was dubbed
and he was overdubbed because no one could understand what he was saying.
It's unbelievable, really, now, isn't it?
Yeah, can't imagine why.
Mark Hamill tweeted recently that Arnold asked him for some acting advice in the 70s, and he was just like, he said what many, many people said to Arnold, which was change your name and lose the accent because you're never going to get anywhere with either of them.
He's a pioneer. He's a trendsetter.
Mm.
Do any of you have any of those films from that pre-Conan era
all of them.
In your top 10?
Oh, no. Not in my top 10, no. I have all of them.
You mean Scavenger Hunt?
Yes.
In which he cameoed as Lars? No, it's not in there.
No, I saw Pumping Iron years ago, and it's a really interesting documentary, but no.
It's upsetting is what it is. There's the monologue where he goes on about, like, pumping is like calming, and then I'm calming in a day, and then I'm calming at night. You're just like, oh, stop, please, for the love of God, my eyes give me the brain bleach.
If you go on YouTube, there is a short video, which is Arnold's Guide to Rio, which was filmed around the same time, and I don't want to give anything away, but go and watch it. It is eye-opening. Just put it this way, you don't want to take any of his tips if you go to Rio.
It's not as good as when Jean-Claude Van Damme went to Rio and did that dancing thing. Do you remember that video?
Yes.
That's more upsetting.
Okay. It's too early in the morning to
talk
about that.
Yeah, let's not think about anything.
He was a very hard target, if I remember right.
I believe he was. Broken Arrow. He's not in the Broken Arrow.
Oh my word. All right, okay, let's move on. So we'll strike those films from the record.
Yeah.
And let's start with his Conan to... What would you say? Conan to T2 phase.
Before we go into Conan, I think we should pay a certain amount of lip service to Stay Hungry, which genuinely is a good performance as bodybuilder Joe Santo, and that's one he got the Golden Globe for. It's not a great film, but he is actually very good in it, I think, which was recognised. And it does end with a lot of muscly men in their pants running through the streets. Like a sort
of
the Bulls, but with kind of steroids. It's quite extraordinary,
allegedly,
and I do recommend you see it.
Yes. I cannot stress enough.
You realise it allegedly has no legal force.
Reportedly.
Oh, God. That also sucks.
Actually.
Rumour has it.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Scuttlebutt implies.
Indeed.
None of these are okay.
But no. Yes, Stay Hungry, I think, is the one pre-Conan that we can tentatively recommend. I think so.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Tittle tattle? Can we get away with that from a legal point of view? Like,
if you're repeating the libel, it doesn't...
Who said it was a libel?
Okay.
You're the one saying it's a libel.
Yes.
I said...
Technically, it would be slander because it's not written down.
No, technically, it's libel because it's
God
recorded.
Damn it!
Mess with the best, James. Die with the rest.
I tried to come with the queen, you best not miss.
I tried to law-splain to Helen.
Oh, my God,
that went horribly badly.
Oh, my God. Oh, okay. Right, let's move on.
I have been owned.
For anyone listening to this who doesn't know, Helen is a trained barrister who moonlights as one of the country's leading film critics.
I gave it up a long time ago.
Or to be in the country's leading film critic.
Yes.
Yeah. You say Arnold is a very, very good performance in Stay Hungry. I agree. And here's one of my controversial theories. Arnold Schwarzenegger is a better actor than many people give him credit for.
I agree completely.
I agree.
As he has demonstrated, I would argue more recently, with the likes of Aftermath and Maggie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Indeed. That was less controversial than I thought it was going to be.
He is. Like, people say, oh, he's a terrible actor. He's not a terrible actor. I think he certainly wasn't great when he started out, but that's true of many people.
Mm. I think he's hamstrung by that voice a little bit.
Which,
there's not a great range to the voice. It's maybe a little bit robotic. And he himself, because of the hulky nature of his body, isn't the most flexible and most versatile actor. And yes, early stuff in particular, there was a sense of the monotone about him. But I think he's really good in the likes of True Lies. He's really good, obviously, as the Terminator.
Junior.
He has an intensity and a gravitas. Not in Junior, I should add. But, you know, in his more serious films, which, you know, a lot of other action stars don't have. Mm. Chuck Norris does not have that.
And he can do things. I mean, I put Escape Plan in my top 10 purely because it's not a good film.
What?
But we said at the time it's a really good Arnold performance.
He's good.
He's really good in it.
He's at his best when he does that.
And I think, so that's why, that's the only reason it's in there. It's not in there for the film itself. But for his performance, I think it is one of his top 10 best.
I agree. I think I don't have any of his phase, I say phase four. That's screw it. Let's have a fourth phase. His phase four movies from The Last Stand onwards. Although I think some of those films are actually pretty good. I think Maggie's pretty good. I think The Last Stand, I know you don't agree, James, but I think The Last Stand is a solid film with a really good Arnold performance at the heart of it. And I think he went away and had some reflection and maybe even he took lessons. I don't know. I'm just speculating. Whilst he was away in the political scene, because he came back seemingly ready to be a little bit more introspective and seemingly ready to explore emotions, actual emotions. And I think some of those films, he actually pulls it off. But I also think that, and I think I've said this before in the podcast, but I also think that he is brilliant in Predator.
Yes,
he is.
Genuinely great in Predator because he is this larger-than-life icon that he needs to be for you to feel that he can go up against the Predator. But in the last 20 minutes, when it's just him and that space beastie, he conveys real fear, he conveys real cunning, and he does it all. It's a non-verbal performance. It's all done with body language, and it's all done with the eyes, and I think he's great.
I agree with that. I think Predator is underrated as an Arnold character as well, because there is a little bit of nuance to that character. Like, Dutch is given... He's not gung-ho, actually. He's the one who's kind of reluctant to put his men into danger. He's kind of looking for assurances that they're not going in there for no reason. He's clearly not glorifying his own exploits for all of the arm wrestling in that movie.
Do you want me to ruin Predator for you?
No.
Dutch's real name is Alan.
I mean, that's fine.
That's right.
Alan Schaefer.
It's in the novelization, isn't it?
Yes. I didn't know that.
He was meant to turn up at the end of The Predator.
Alan, you son of a bitch! It's not the same. Sorry, Nick.
He was meant to turn up at the end of The Predator. He was in the first draft. Shane Black's...
He was, in fact, not so much in the end of it. It's when they go to the... He might have been in the draft, but when I spoke to Black about it, he said the... There's a guy called Will, and I can't remember his surname. He's a famous Arnold impersonator. And he... There was going to be a scene in the science lab where they were talking about it, and Dutch was going to come in, and the guy, one of the scientists, were going to be doing his Arnold impersonation. And then Dutch was going to kind of loom in behind him, and there was going to be a kind of a gag there.
That doesn't sound good.
Yeah, that would have been bad, because then the rest of the movie would have been going, why isn't Dutch taking care of the situation? Why isn't he just kicking the ass of this predator, which is woken up and is killing people for no reason, even though it's meant to be friendly
because
and trying to help humans?
Because he's still traumatized, Chris. He's got character work.
It's interesting that he's resisted coming back for another Predator.
Yeah.
Because he was meant to do... Like, there have been talks about him doing every single one apart from the Alien vs. Predators. Because Predator 2, they replaced him at the last minute with Busey, right?
Was it with Busey? I can't remember. But I remember he was going to be in it, and he didn't want to do it. And then The Predator, I think he would have done it if it was a more substantial role. I think he had no interest in doing a cameo. He just felt that there was nothing to the role.
And wasn't he meant to be the Lawrence Fishburne role in Predators as well?
I think so.
I'd read that somewhere, that they were meant to get on the planet and suddenly Dutch was there. In a way, I'm glad that he didn't do that because he would have ended up being killed, and I think that character deserves better. But yeah, like the end of The Predator is set up, that big thing that they send to Earth, they call it the Predator Killer. That I was expecting Arnold to come out even at the end. This is the Predator spoiler special, by the way. I was expecting him to emerge from that cocoon at the end instead of that dreadful nonsense that did actually
happen.
That
would have been amazing. Cocoon open and Arnold steps out.
He's arm wrestling Carl Weathers.
Brilliant.
If it bleeds, we can kill it again. If it bleeds again, we can kill it again.
Maybe we could get him back to do that Predator musical.
On board.
That's genius.
I would
YouTube
love
it
that.
If you don't know what it is.
I haven't heard of it. Doesn't have
the Conan
if,
one. I
if
argue
it
is
bleeds,
better.
We can kill it. Oh, it's amazing. Good.
Yeah. Turn around, bright eyes. let's talk about Predator, because again, controversial theory. I think it's his best film.
I agree.
What the hell is going on with my controversial theories today?
I disagree.
Your theories are not controversial.
I went back and forth, so it's really great.
It's 100% a toss up between this and Terminator 2. They are both phenomenal films, and there is certainly a case to be made. I mean, Terminator 2 is one of the great sequels of all time, and it's extraordinary. But I think for me, Predator is everything I love about Arnold is in Predator. It's just like he is 100% just raw masculinity in that film. I mean, they all are. They're WWF wrestlers. It's just obscene.
It's absurd. It's wonderful.
But it is. It's gloriously over the top. It's utterly absurd. And he is fantastic in it. And as you said, has a really good performance. But it's frightening. It's thrilling. It's exciting. It's funny. The score is amazing. I mean, it's one of my all-time favorite films.
It also has one of those things that Arnold got into seemingly every movie he made in the 80s and early 90s, which is a display of strength.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there has to be a moment where he lift something really heavy or just gets those biceps nice and oiled and grinding.
Although he doesn't get the really big gun. He doesn't get the film's biggest gun.
No, he doesn't.
I wonder if they were quite intense negotiations.
Do you really need it when you've got like all those logs and everything?
When they're setting traps for the predator, they all strip their tops off and apparently apply baby oil before doing it and just start pulling on ropes for no reason just to show sinewy muscles flexing.
Yeah.
It's absolutely obscene.
I love the fact that during the making of that they were all basically competitively working out, like apparently the gym, you could not get near the gym in that hotel in Mexico, but also that that Carl Weathers tried to psych everybody else out by exercising secretly and acting like it was all natural.
And he pretended that he didn't go to the gym.
He didn't go to the gym, which is brilliant. The other thing that I think is worthy of mention there is he's got a great introduction there, just in the shadow of the helicopter, just the silhouette, and then the flare of the cigar. It's such a great character intro.
That shoot must have been mental. They all had sort of dysentery throughout the entire thing. They used to go down to, because they were staying by like a little sort of town. And apparently they used to go to the town's only nightclub, and obviously Rocky was kind of big at the time, so Carl Weathers was like a massive celebrity, went down. They used to just rip it up on the dance floor. Yeah, Shane Black talks very fondly of that shoot, because obviously he's the only human-sized human on that entire cast. Yeah.
And he just went on, they tried to get him to do a rewrite on the script, and he was like, no, it's really good.
Well,
I just want to be in it.
Yeah, they went around. Like, they asked him to redo it, and he goes, no. And he said eventually he knew they would come back. So there's nothing wrong with the script. So they don't need me here. There is nothing wrong with the script. He said, I just wanted it for the holiday because by a resort town.
Well, he wanted to, he said he also wanted to just see a film being made.
Yeah, that too.
I also love the fact that the there were so many huge explosions from the second unit that they sometimes had to pause filming for the first unit because there was too much light in the sky.
It's adorable. So great. It is such a great film. It works in so many levels. It is a glorious satire of machismo. That's a really weird to pronounce that word, but I did it anyway. Machismo. And, you know, for example, I was reading, watching, listening to the commentary, I think, John McTiernan's commentary, and the bit where they all fire their guns into the jungle for about 3 to 4 minutes. And John McTiernan's basically pissed himself. He's just sending up movies like this. But at the same time, he has made the Uber movie like this. Yeah. And it works as a Men in a Mission movie, which is the sort of thing I just eat up. And then it introduces this sci-fi element. And there was a debate going around recently about, would it work better without the opening shot of the film, which tells you that there is an alien involved. And I think it's perfect because you know there's an alien involved and you know that it's really great. It's one of the great films at doing what I think Sabotage failed to do completely, which is it introduces a team of badasses and establishes their credentials really quickly, really efficiently. These guys are the best of the best. And they take apart this group of mercenaries and
gorillas.
Yeah. This team of gorillas.
Knock, knock.
Like
stick
that.
Stick around.
With some of the best one-liners.
Yeah, get the one-liners in early.
You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
And then it becomes a really interesting thriller where these guys are outmatched and they know they're outmatched. And these guys who are the best of the best are shitting their pants for the entire movie, including Arnold. Yeah. And I love that about that film.
It's so good.
There's something out there hunting us.
It has a simplicity to it as well, which I think the new one doesn't have. Yeah. The new one is sprawling. There are way too many characters, too many things going on. But this one is just a very boiled down, gang of characters versus an alien in the jungle. It's pretty, you know, you could write the plot out in about 3 sentences, but it works really well.
What I find fascinating about this film, I think more than anything else, is this film was destined to be shit. It was destined to be a flop, and it came within a hair of being a terrible film. So that the ending of the film was obviously completely different. The novelization, if you read it, you get like the alien was a shapeshifter and he shoots it with its own weapon. Like, it's a whole different thing and the ship blows up. But obviously the original design for the alien was like this sort of sci-fi lobster thing with, ironically, Jean-Claude Van Damme inside the suit.
It looked like a Red Dwarf alien.
Well,
the
red version was the one that they CG'd out for the invisibility.
No, but Red Dwarf, the TV.
Oh, yeah. It did, yeah. It looked exactly like one of like the curry monster in Red Dwarf. But it was absolutely terrible. So they had the bright red one, which they CG'd out, and that appears in the finished film, because obviously it's CG'd out, doesn't matter. But it was this huge lobster thing, and they all realised it didn't work. And there was a point where McTiernan showed rushes to the studio, and he was just like, this doesn't work. And they shut down production, and at that point the whole film could have been just Deep Six right there and then, and then they brought in Stan Winston and he saved the whole thing. But if they had not done that, this is a film that would have been on everyone's bottom shelf in Blockbuster. You know, we'd never have seen it.
Yeah, because it came sandwiched in the middle of, so he started off his action phase with Conan the Barbarian, which is a deeply, deeply weird film, but
it really is
at times brilliant and at times problematic.
At times.
Has the world's greatest DVD commentary, in which Arnold Schwarzenegger and John Milius sit and describe. Well, Arnold does a thing whenever if you've heard a DVD commentary with Arnie, he literally just describes what's happening on the screen. It's like sort of closed captioning. And he's just gone, now I'm walking through a village, and now there's a camel, and I punch the camel, yeah, I take that camel. Now I got the sword, swing it around, yeah, look at that.
He just does that,
and then he leaves about halfway through. Like, he just goes halfway through the film. He's like,
really? Bye then.
And Where's he from, this Arnold?
Hello.
So, he's not very good at DVD commentaries.
He swung that sword at my head. Which was disconcerting. The Atlantean sword from Conan. Yes, I believe he deliberately didn't decapitate me. But yeah, I said, "Can I have a look at it?" And he swears, "I'm fucking hell! I just wanted to see it."
As a man in his 60s, picks up the sword. Trust me, I'm in complete control.
Did you all put Conan the Barbarian in your top 10?
Yeah,
it was my number 8.
I put it higher than you did.
I maybe did. I don't remember.
But I have to say that when I was putting this list together, and again, qualify this with my deep and unabashed love for Arnold Schwarzenegger, I experienced the same issue that I did when we did the Star Trek ranking, which is I realized the scales fell from my eyes, and I think there are five Stone Cold classics, right?
Easy, yep.
Five Stone Cold classics. And then there are some, I mean, unmitigated disasters, some absolute stinkers. And then the rest is just like a wishy-washy soup of nothingness, really.
I think Arnie is unique in that some of his worst films are his best films.
Yes.
Commando. I would say Commando is objectively a garbage film, which I think everyone... I've interviewed many people involved in it, and they all kind of agree it's pretty bad. But... it's my number five, and frankly, it beats Total Recall and Conan. And you
it's
know.
Amazing.
I love Commando.
So do I.
I could sit and talk about Commando all day.
Yes,
but we shouldn't do that.
No, let's not. Cause
We could, because Commando is a 5-star, 1-star film.
Yeah.
In a weird way, it is glorious. It is an objectively bad film, and yet I love every frame of it.
Yeah. The deer, the ice cream.
It's all about
Jenny.
It's all about the gratuitousness of everything. Everything it does too big.
Yeah.
It's just, it's got too loud a voice, like outside voice. It's like the bits where it's trying to establish him as a family man are so inept.
I love the bit at the end where he's killing all these henchmen, and then you see him kill a guy, and then the same guy comes on wearing a stick on moustache, and he kills him again.
There's a great quote. I interviewed the director, and he said it was they were kind of they'd shot the film, and then Rambo First Blood Part 2 came out, and there's wanton violence in that, loads of people getting killed, and one of the producers, I can't remember who the producer was, but he looked at it and went, we've got to have a bigger dick than Rambo, and so they went back and they reshot, and just to get the body count bigger than Rambo, that's all they wanted to do. So they just used the same extras and put moustaches on them.
It's amazing.
But you can see the same people getting killed like 3 or 4 times in the end.
One of them up in flower beds, and it's extraordinary.
One of those guys is a stuntman, Lane Levitt, who I interviewed in that feature as well. He's just come back to me. I think he's the guy Arnold scalps in the
with the little saw blade.
They sadly cut the scene where Arnie slaps someone with his own severed arm. Do you remember this? They shot a scene where he slices someone's arm off and then like punches them with the arm, and Arnie wanted to keep it in, but they cut it.
Commando is utterly, utterly ridiculous, but it has some of the best Arnold kills.
Yeah.
Has some of the best Arnold one-liners. I had a t-shirt that had all the villains in the movie with the one-liner that he uses to dispatch them underneath their faces, which now I cannot fit into, which is a real shame. And it has, controversial theory, the best Arnold movie villain that is not played by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Not controversial.
What's going on? I'm gonna kill you, John!
Pretty controversial, I'd say. I'm gonna say
Bennett.
That again.
Bennett from Commando is the greatest villain in an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. Yes, he's better than the T-1000.
Objectively insane.
You
are both insane.
Does the T-1000 sport a chainmail white beater?
I'm a fan of Bennett.
I'm gonna shoot you between the balls! No. I'm gonna kill you now!
One of them is one of the greatest villains in movie history. Yeah. The other one is an overweight Australian man in a chainmail watch
beater. At no point does the T-1000 get electrocuted. They'd come immediately off the electrical grid and punch Arnold in the face.
All right. And sooner or later, one of my controversial theories would actually prove controversial.
It's not even an opinion. It's just a word.
It's glorious.
It's just words.
Everyone should be forced to watch Commando every day.
No. I've seen Commando because you all banged on about it ceaselessly. And when I joined Empire in 2003, I had not yet seen it. And I thought, well, this must be a huge missing part of my life.
And it
is. This is going to change the world. It is shit.
I know. It's so shit, but it really so great.
I mean, entertainingly shit. I think I put it at number 10. I'm not sure. But, like, it's terrible. No.
You
just
did.
Stop.
It's magnificent. Nowhere have steel drums been better used than in that film.
It has
the
worst.
That's not a recommendation.
It contains the worst Arnold Schwarzenegger stunt, in which he jumps off a plane that's up in the air.
That's a great
stunt. It's clearly a mannequin. Like, it's so obviously a mannequin.
You try getting a mannequin that size.
He's got a mannequin. It's not even wearing the same clothes as he was.
But immediately before that, it has, don't disturb my friend.
He's dead tired.
I will give it some one-liners then.
Steve D'Souza is a god among men.
it's so good/terrible. But my point about Commando is that, or Predator rather, is a Predator. He started off with Conan, then he had the Terminator, which is not a bad film, right? I think we're all going to agree on that one. It is a stone cold classic. We'll talk about that in detail in a second. But around Predator is this melange of awfulness that, you know, Red Heat is
Cocainum.
Raw Deal is.
Yeah, I think we
Raw
need
Deal
to,
is not. Raw Deal is just fucking awful.
Yeah,
like that. I can't watch. That's one of that and Jingle All the Way are two films that actually enrage me. I can't watch them.
We should give credit to you. Just mentioned Stephen D'Souza.
Yeah,
and I think he and John McTiernan were two guys who knew how to use Arnie, and I think that's something that's really important. Is that not many people knew what to do with him because he was such a kind of different thing, and D'Souza kind of pioneered the one-liners really, and he came up with a lot of not just the ones that he wrote, but Arnie would come to him and say, "Can you write some one-liners for this film?" So but, you know, there, it's and James Cameron obviously is the ultimate kind of Arnie collaborator who, you know, delivered his best performances. But I think Arnie on his own sometimes he needed collaborators.
I agree. Yeah, you'll get directors. I mean, I really like The Running Man. As well,
so
I think that's. I hadn't seen The Running Man in ages, and I watched it again last year. And it came out the same year as RoboCop, and they must have been developed around the same time, but on independent tracks. And there's so many similarities between those two films in terms of, you know, future dystopian future, and there's, you know, satire of the media.
It's the most accurate prediction of 2017.
I mean,
it really is. It's kind of scary now. But the Running Man is very, very good. But otherwise, you get a lot of directors either side. I don't even think Walter Hill really knew how to use Arnold very well in Red Heat, particularly. But yeah, you're right.
And that should have been a really good fit, actually.
It should have been. It should have been tremendous. And it's not. And it's just a kind of a little
it's just
lightweight.
There. It's just fine.
It's got quite a good fight.
In the snow at the beginning.
The Foley artistry in that fight is the greatest in the history of cinema. Genuinely, when anyone is punched, it is the sound of two trucks colliding. It's extraordinary.
I feel like if you notice the Foley artistry, it's maybe not the greatest in cinema history.
You're like, what is happening?
It's a bit like Indiana Jones' gun in Raiders. It's just literally a cannon.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the most crazy sound effect.
I love it.
Let's talk to James Cameron, because you mentioned him there, and he is the man who shaped Arnold's persona on the big screen, I think, better than anybody, and then reshaped it again, obviously, with T2.
Mm. Yeah.
So they've weirdly only made three films together, The Terminator, The Terminator 2, and True Lies. And I think those are three of the Stone Cold classics on this list.
I agree. I love True Lies. But let's talk about The Terminator for a second, because it's almost unbelievable once you have seen it that he was ever thinking Lance Henriksen for that role. Like, it doesn't make any sense anymore. And it would have, actually, if you can kind of divorce yourself from having seen Terminator, then it kind of makes sense in a sort of T-1000 sort of a way. Mm-hmm. But once you've seen Arnie, just do that.
O.J. Simpson as well, right?
And yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Who'd have thought of him for a Stone Cold killer?
No one. No one at all. That doesn't make any sense.
Allegedly. Tittle-tattle.
That's fine. If he had, though. Never mind.
If he'd written a book speculating about what would have happened.
But it's just, it's such a controlled performance. He needs him to do so little, and Arnie dials it back and dials it back and keeps it sort of tamped down. And like you say, it doesn't even blink. And it just works on every level.
He's
so good.
Terrifying in that film, isn't he?
So scary. I think it's good to use the weight and the height and just the enormousness of him really well like that. I think there is something, you know, there is something scary about a big hulking man chasing you around town. That's not a good thing. I think we can all agree. And
he's got quite frightening hair in the original Terminator.
Yeah,
he's got a real Brian Thompson kind of vibe going
does.
On. He looks different to how he looks in the sequel. But yeah, he's a terrifying character in that. I'm not a huge fan of the first one, to be honest. It's not
what?
Sorry,
that is controversial.
I should have preempted that with controversial view. I think it's fine. I think it's very good. It's not a film I pull out and watch often.
Oh my goodness. I don't understand that.
If I want to watch a Terminator film, put on Terminator 2.
I was going to say, I thought you were going to say Terminator 3.
Then I put on Terminator 3.
They're different genres, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, like, the Terminator is a flat-out horror film. Like, it's very intense. It's quite full-on. It's deeply unpleasant in places.
It's just a relentless chase movie.
It's exhausting.
As well. And I love that about it. And I think Arnold is possibly as iconic in that film as he has been in anything. And I include Conan, you know, what with him seeing his enemies driven before them and hearing the lamentations of the women, all that stuff. And I include Predator and even T2, but there's something about him, that those images, him walking naked to, is it the observatory? That's just an image when you're watching that film as a kid with your parents, because my parents were ridiculously laissez-faire about things when I was that age. It just burned into your mind that this terrifying primal force of nature with
unnature.
Subsequently ruined by Terminator Genesis. Thanks for that.
Well, in fairness, none of the Terminator sequels make a lick of sense. So let's not, like,
I meant that particular scene.
Oh, I see. Okay,
who are the who are the punks that he kills? Is Bill Paxton?
Bill Paxton.
Brian Thompson.
Brian Thompson. I don't know who the third one is.
The Terminator is, I think, a tremendous film. Look to see where you put it, Nick, in your list. Oh, fairly high. I mean, fairly high.
Okay, well, yeah,
backtrack.
Let me backtrack.
Vehicle reversing.
I just mean that in the way that I love Terminator 2, I don't have that same passion. I appreciate it. I understand it's a very good film. It's iconic. Everything. I'm not saying any of that, but it's True Lies or Terminator 2 or Predator for me. If I want an action.
It's really tough because on one hand, Terminator 2 has, you know, Sarah Connor being incredible. And on the other hand, Terminator has Kyle Reese.
So. Terminator 2, I think, is an undeniably better film than The Terminator. I love The Terminator, but Terminator 2 is an absolute masterpiece.
It's a slicker film. I think The Terminator is a masterpiece.
It is a masterpiece in a different way. I mean, it's a lo-fi. It's
put together
tight.
With shoelaces and bubblegum. Yeah,
exactly
and
that.
The sequel
in often cases, shot illegally on a Sunday when they didn't have permits, just on the street, like, no one's looking, quick, get the camera out.
Whereas T2 is Cameron like flexing all of his muscles.
It was the first $100 million budget film. Wasn't it?
It was him firing on every cylinder imaginable. Yeah. The most
but obviously
expensive
you
film
couldn't
all time.
Have the sequel without it. It builds on the first one so much that you needed the first
but one. But what I love about Cameron is what he does when he went in for Aliens, taking it from Alien, when he went from Terminator to Terminator 2, he pivots. And instead of just doing, we did this great film, here's another one, he said, we did a great film, here's something different but related. And it feels different enough that it's a complete sort of new experience.
This is why I'm excited for his Avatar sequels.
But you mentioned there were three James Cameron and Arnie collaborations. There is a fourth coming. Cameron worked very hard on the script for the new Terminator film.
I think you find Untitled Terminator Project.
Untitled Terminator Project, which I am looking forward to. I know not very many people are.
I'm looking forward to it because of Cameron's involvement. I'm interested to see what they're doing with it. I mean, I've been burned before. Genesis has left deep, deep scars in me. but no, I'm excited to see it. Just seeing Linda Hamilton in it, frankly, made me want to see it. So.
Yeah,
and I still
cool
think
pick.
Arnie's going to play a human in it.
Ooh.
I mean, he does wear a beard.
I think he's going to be the one hunted by Terminators.
He's a bearded Terminator.
That's my theory. There isn't much evidence.
Do you think he'll be playing the character that he played in Terminator 3?
That was cut.
Which was cut.
What is that character's name?
I can't remember with the incredible accent.
Major Crash something. Yeah. Something like that.
Bandicoot.
Crash Bandicoot. Major Crash Bandicoot. And he has an American accent. It will get, you know.
My evidence for my theory is largely that he seems to have a beard at the moment, even though they're filming the new Terminator film.
That wouldn't make any sense. Like, how would killing the bloke who becomes the model for the Terminators stop the humans from winning the war against Skynet?
Shh.
Yeah. Shh. Silencio.
Future science.
You've mentioned there Terminator Genesis, and I'm going to take a slight detour here to talk about Arnold's worst films, because there's quite a few for the number one slot. I think one of the worst films of all time is Batman and Robin. Weird enough, he's probably the best thing in it.
I would take Batman and Robin over Jingle All the Way, which is hateful, except it generated one of the greatest YouTube videos of all time, which is Swede Mason's Put the Cookie Down.
Put the cookie down.
Which
put the cookie down.
Is spectacular.
You're a wife. You're a wife.
Your wife's cookies. Down, down, put that cookie down. Put that cookie down, down.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
It's great. Please YouTube it.
Yes. It's amazing. But it's a dreadful, dreadful,
it's
dreadful,
a terrible,
dreadful
terrible
film.
It's upsetting. I can't ever watch it.
I think Sabotage is a hate crime of a film.
It really is awful.
Which is a real shame. Mm. And
I really don't like The Last Stand. But then I know you do, and you are a one-man island on this. But I think mainly it was disappointment that this was his comeback movie, and I was so excited and very disappointed by that. And yet, you know, I've enjoyed him in Maggie. I thought he put on an incredible sort of heartrending performance in Maggie. And again, in Aftermath, just showed real nuance as an actor and a real range. Mm. So, and very few people, I think, saw either of those films, which is a real shame.
I think I gave Collateral Damage one star when
it
came out.
That seems entirely fair. And that has aged extremely not well.
Yeah, and that's Andrew Davis, who directed The Fugitive and How the Mighty Have Fallen. That's a truly bad film. He's good, I think, honestly, he's good in the Expendables movies as well, Arnold. Ugh. But the track record of films. Maggie is a good film. I'll be completely honest here. I should have been a completist. I haven't seen Killing Gunther. But judging from the reviews, I don't think it would have been troubling any of our top 10.
Has it come out over here?
I think we're okay.
Yeah. It's available to rent and buy over here on digital download.
That's a nadir, isn't it?
Let's go back to talking about good Arnold.
Yes, please.
Because there's a lot of good Arnold.
Could I say, you've mentioned Running Man briefly, and I want to jump in. First of all, the fact that it's directed by Hutch should be notable here for Michael Glazer. But also, that film has...
There were several directors.
Yes, that's also true. That film had some genuinely great one-liners in it and some brilliant set pieces and is horribly underrated. And I love the music. Harold Faltermeyer's synth score is fantastic. Mm. But everyone should rewatch Running Man.
It might just be people were put off by the leotard.
It was an excellent leotard, Helen. It was very fetching.
I'm not saying I was put off. I'm just saying people might have been.
No, I think that's a good film. And I think Arnold has worked really well. I keep calling him Arnold as if he's my best mate. Arnie, my good pal, he's worked really well in sci-fi. And maybe there's something about the fact that you can get away with using this larger-than-life, Incredible Hulk in a larger-than-life background.
Absolutely. Total Recall, we haven't touched on at all.
Oh, yeah. Total Recall, one of the Stone Cold classics.
Absolutely love that film. It's bananas. It's obviously one of the long tradition Hollywood has of taking Philip K. Dick novels and throwing away almost everything, including the title. And in Total Recall, that's exactly what he did.
It's called We Can Remember It For You Wholesale.
We Can Remember It For You Wholesale, which is a great title. I just love it.
Wildly commercial.
I can never remember that. Wholesale or not.
Yeah. It's phenomenal. It's brilliant design. It's nice messing with reality. It's got that fantastic disguise as the great little lady. Yeah.
2 weeks. Two weeks.
I really like that film until they get to Mars. And then
get your ass to Mars.
The effects when they get to Mars are so bad. It's in that stage of like early CGI where it just doesn't quite work.
It doesn't matter. See you at the party, Richter.
Although the scene where Arnie's face is expanding and his eyes are popping out.
There's a brilliant YouTube compilation of the sort of like fishbowl eyes thing when he's just going and his tongue comes out. It's the best. It's the most Arnold's ever been.
Supercut of this podcast just on Arnie. It'd be about an hour long.
I have to say, this has descended into what I feared it would become.
James going, ah.
Which is, just us making noises and quoting lines randomly.
Yeah, but I really like the first half of Total Recall. When he sort of teams up with Mutant, you know, meets all the Mutant Rebels and stuff.
Yeah.
It's a bit... Johnny Cab, there's a lot of iconic stuff in it. Johnny Cab is awesome. I love the fight he has with Sharon Stone.
See, that was a... the Daily Mail went absolutely batshit over that, and I remember this because I was going on holiday at the time. They had it on the plane, but it was like a front page. We are so affronted that Arnold is beating up a woman in this film, consider this a divorce. And when he uses that guy as a human shield on the escalator,
it's a brutal film,
like off the chain violent.
Well, that is what Verhoeven does.
Yeah,
right?
It is what Verhoeven does, but I mean, it really is.
I admire it for that. What about Last Action Hero?
And sorry, can I just give you all props for not mentioning the lady with three breasts? Well done.
Well, yes.
There's a lady with three breasts?
I believe the following line is, makes me wish I had three hands.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, God.
Points deducted.
We, the Empire podcast does not condone that line.
No, we don't.
Or our reaction to that line. It was just nostalgia.
And, but they resurrected that gag in the remake of Total Recall, which seemed an unnecessary thing to do because it was slightly dodgy in the first one.
Well, it's one of those things, isn't it? The remake just goes to show how good the original was because, all good actors, Colin Farrell's a fine actor, Kate Beckinsale's great, and that film is dreck.
Yes, so it's boring.
Yeah.
Because Verhoeven, again, is a director who knew how to use Arnold, and he's a director who knows how to wallow in excess and make that work.
Yeah.
I love the stuff when it gets to Mars. I think it's tremendous. I think Ronnie Cox is a great bad guy. I think Michael Ironside is a great bad guy. And I love the production design. I know some of the effects are shonky, but I love that world.
Can you imagine what Verhoeven and Arnold's crusade would have been if it had ever got off the ground?
The body count have been.
It's just, well, the thing is, Arnold was...
We'd still be counting.
They were in a meeting with the studio on that, and Arnold said the moment that film sort of fell out was they were in a meeting with the studio and they were like a little concerned over budget, and Verhoeven, apparently, he was like almost kicking him under the table. Verhoeven was like, no, we're going to have granted with this and it's going to be larger, there's dollars and millions, and apparently he could just see the light going out in the executive's eyes. They were like, we are never going to pay for this shit.
Interestingly, Crusade, I think it was just a couple of weeks ago, it was announced that a Crusade is getting made, but without either Verhoeven or Arnie.
Really?
But someone is making Crusade, well, finally.
It's only taken 30 years.
But excess is an interesting word, and I wonder if that is the secret to making a good Arnie film. It's just he is so larger than life that everything else has to be equally massive.
But then again, Terminator would be the... And to an extent, Predator, in the sense of, as we've discussed, small cast, location.
Small in number, certainly
small in
not
number,
in,
not
know,
in not
actuality.
In size. Definitely not in bicep size.
I guess Last Action Hero is an exception to that, that was too much of everything.
I watched that again
too much Chevy Chase.
And they sent it into space, didn't they?
Oh, they sent... Well, the advert sent for all the film. But yeah, they put it on the satellite.
Yeah, I watched it recently. I had a really good time.
Yeah, I will absolutely go to bat for Last Action Hero.
It's dreadful.
It's not dreadful.
To
it's
be or not to be?
Not to be. It's really fun. I think controversial theory, Charles Dance is the best villain in an Arnold movie.
Oh my god.
He's not great. Even the best Charles Dance.
No, he's not. He's better than the Golden Child.
The bit where he goes full Donald Trump and goes outside and shoots a man and goes, "Hello! I've just shot a man!" No one cares. Allegedly, Donald Trump has not killed anyone. I just want to. That's a reference to the fact that he said he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and get away with it.
Yeah.
There's a good film in there. It's Charles Dance is listing all the classic movie villains he's trying to bring into the world, and it's that would have been a good film.
I mean, the kid's annoying,
you know,
but there's loads of great jokes in it. I think Arnold's good, and I would actually like to see the first three Jack Slater films. Those looked like good films to me.
And the gag about, what was it, his second cousin or his cousin's ex-husband or something is the person who's killed that sets him off on the mission at the beginning of the film. Like, it's a really tenuous relationship.
Yeah. It is one of those films that is more loved by certain people than the people who made it, I think. I did a big piece on it and interviewed most of the people involved, and none of them defended it.
They're
McTiernan
still scarred.
Still sounds depressed.
Yeah.
Well, and,
yeah.
So, and Shane Black is, you know.
I mean, the experience Arnold went through in that movie, and McTiernan as well, but certainly Arnold is in complete contrast to Terminator 2, which was the biggest film of all time at that point. It had the biggest budget, but people loved it. Huge box office hit, critically acclaimed, top of the world, cigars all around. A couple of years later, tries it again with Last Action Hero, goes massively over budget, over schedule, loads of problems, and this time the critics and the audiences don't play ball. And that, in a way, you can obviously trace, I think you can trace back the decline of Arnold to Last Action Hero, and maybe the course corrections afterwards or whatever it was.
Was True Lies the year after?
You've blown my theory out of the water, you motherfucker.
True Lies was after, which is my number two.
Mm.
There's something about it. It's the bathroom fight.
The horse.
The horse. Yeah.
The Harrier jump jet.
Yeah.
I really like that film. It's awesome.
The bit where he goes to the party in the tuxedo.
Yeah.
That's
Bill Paxton.
Fun.
Amazing.
Definitely one of the best Tom Arnold films.
Yeah. Mm.
Tangoing.
I would say probably top five Tom Arnold films, but we'll discuss those on the Tom Arnold The Ranking episode, which is coming up very, very soon. Yeah, it's a really interesting film, True Lies, because it is flawed as hell, and it is at least half an hour too long. And yet I saw that
I think three times in the cinema.
Yeah.
I just adored it.
It's Cameron doing a Bond movie, isn't
it?
And Arnie as Bond.
And Charlton Heston as M.
Yeah. And it's just delightful. I love the opening where Arnie comes in and is up in the scuba gear and he's got a tux on. It's just so ridiculous. It's like, come on.
And just
if no one would notice him at the party. It's like, this guy should not be undercover.
I mean, Cameron was doing this at the time. Again, a good performance. A really good performance. Mm. The bit where he thinks that Helen is is screwing around on him. He's genuinely very good, and it's like, but examine your own culpability in this relationship. Just step outside this relationship for a second. But it's also at that point in time, Cameron was. This was a moment in time when John Woo was doing incredible things in the action genre, and that movie to me feels like Cameron's going, "No, I'm the best action director in the world. Look at this. Look at what I can do with the finale with people in limos and helicopters, and we're actually doing those stunts for real." And I know he didn't. But it feels like they did actually set off a nuclear bomb at the end of the movie and positioned Schwarzenegger and Jamie Lee Curtis perfectly in the frame.
They probably did. It's Cameron, isn't it?
It's Florida. No one would notice.
The worst part about True Lies is unfortunately, it is the last genuinely great film Arnold ever did. And that makes me a bit sad.
Yeah. So far.
But it's interesting talking to him about the films that kind of came after it and the different ones. Like, he's very pragmatic about it. Even Batman and Robin, like, he doesn't regret doing Batman and Robin at all. And I kind of pulled him up on this. I was like, you know, he was a bit shit. And he was like, no, he's like, the thought process going into it was absolutely rock solid. Because I wouldn't do it again because it made absolute sense. Like, Joel Schumacher was huge at the time. Batman was a huge property. You know, it was a big role. He got paid a fuck ton of money for it. It's like, absolutely, it made absolute sense to do it. It's a shame it didn't work out. And he's like, but I don't regret doing it. And you're like, but that's did fair. You see the penguin slippers you were wearing? I mean, really?
I remember losing my penguins. Shit for End of Days before it came out. I was so excited about End of Days.
Arnold versus Satan.
Yeah,
yes.
Precisely. Satan has no chance in that fight.
That's the one where he makes a smoothie in a blender, right? And he puts a whole slice of cold pizza in it.
It's the one where Miriam Margulies beats the shit out of him. That's particularly cool.
Yeah. she was very funny about that.
I saw her in the days at the cinema, and for some reason the last 10 minutes was silent and no one got up to complain. We just sat there and watched it and then just left. I still don't know how it ends.
All right. Well, I think that's enough of that. Should we get to the voting stage?
Let's do it.
Get to the voting stage.
Get to the voting chopper. Do it now. Do it. Vote now. Do it now.
I mean, yeah, vote me.
Vote for me.
Is that how we canvassed?
Yes. Yes, that was...
It went door to door.
That was deliberate. That was taken from his gubernatorial campaign.
He went to the door, went, knock, knock.
Knock, knock.
Vote for me.
I'm here. Do it now.
Stick around and vote for me.
Pretty much.
Just quick shout out to Terminator 3, which is not a great film, but has a great, great ending. And for me, Christina Loken's Terminatrix is probably the best villain in an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Oh, Christ.
What was the ending of Terminator 3? Imagine I've forgotten and tell
the
me.
The world dies. All the bombs go
off. I feel
off.
Like we haven't sufficiently discussed Terminator 2, but anyway.
Terminator 2 is amazing. But then
we did an entire podcast about Terminator 2.
Yeah, check out Terminator 2, the spoiler special with Robert Patrick
right.
and us talking about it. Our very first retro special, and so far only today, but we will do another one.
Terminator 3.
Oh, yes. The bit with the sunglasses.
Oh, it's so awful until the last 10 minutes.
But that's like his going away present, that film. And he was at that point, I believe.
Thanks.
Cheers, Arnie. That he was the highest paid actor in the world at that point. You know, so he went out on the highest of high. That's if we don't count his cameo as Prince Happy in Around the World in 80 Days, which we really, really shouldn't.
Personally, I like his cameo in Welcome to the Jungle,
yeah.
AKA
yes.
The Rundown.
That's right, yes. Where he gives a tip of the hat to the
yeah,
rock.
Yeah, he passes the torch, metaphorically speaking.
Yeah.
And who could forget his cameo as himself in Dave?
Indeed.
Which automatically makes it his best comedy and possibly even his greatest movie. But that's not let's not get into that. Enough squabbling. Let's vote. All right, welcome back. We have put our heads together, started the new country up, and we've also decided our top 10. I've put your points. I've taken top 10s, assigned them points, and here we are. I'm going to do a quick rundown of the top 10 because we're running out of time. Oh, by the way, only 13 films are voted for in this list.
Fair.
Okay, here we go. In 10, Twins.
Only 10. I'm actually surprised it's that low. But I think it's really fun. I think just the visual instantly works and gives you a lot to go with. And Arnold kind of sells it as the sort of good-hearted super dude who, you know, becomes instantly devoted to this guzzy brother.
We have Ivan Reitman to blame for Arnold's entire comedy career because they met while they were skiing in Aspen, and apparently Ivan came up to him and said, I think you could be really funny. And Arnold was like, sure, write me a script. And the rest is history.
Well, luckily, his name was Reitman, so he did.
Twins is great, and I'm looking forward to Triplets, which is never going to get made.
It's never going
to
get made. Again, I asked Arnold about this, and he said it was happening. This was like, I think,
but
year
again,
and a half
there's
ago,
like
2 years.
So many films that are meant to be getting made. Like, what happened to the Conan one?
Anyway, that's genuinely never going to happen. The Eddie Murphy's stepping it up, though, so he's just signed on to Grumpy Old Men. So you never know. Stick Arnold in that. Number 9, Last Action Hero.
Oh, fuck off.
Oh yes,
that should not be on this list.
It should be. Because he plays two completely separate roles in that, of course.
He also plays himself.
Exactly.
Oh, sorry. That was literally your point.
Yeah.
That was literally your point. I've just unexplained.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
But yeah, I had fun with that movie.
Number 8, crushes his enemies, sees it driven before them, and hears the lamentations of the women. What? It is Conan the Barbarian.
And also James's motto.
Yeah, that is indeed what I have on my business card. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair. It's one of these films where it's good. It's not one of my favourite films of all time, though I do enjoy a bit of watching it. I like the score a lot, I think, more than most other parts of it.
Let's be honest, there's no such thing as good 80s fantasy in live action, really.
I mean,
apart from my beloved Willow. But
Beastmaster,
It's no Hawk the Slayer.
It's no Willow, but...
Krull?
No.
Yes, Krull is great.
No, have you gone back and watched Krull?
Shut up, Helen.
Krull is terrible.
Don't ruin my childhood. Krull is a great 5-star masterpiece.
Krull is a 2-star if you're feeling generous.
How could you do
anyway,
this? 4-star masterpiece, Krully's Game.
by the standards of 80s fantasy, Conan is a great film.
Yeah, it's better than the second one. That's what I'll do.
This is very true. And Red Sonja not on anyone's list
Jesus
either.
That's
big
bad.
Shock. Number 7, The Running Man.
I don't know, would I put it higher? Maybe a little bit. I love The Running Man.
I think you would put it higher when you hear what's above it. Because now we're into stone cold classic territory. Okay. Number 6.
Commander.
Commander.
Hey!
I knew that was coming.
Yes.
A bit higher for me. It was my number five.
I eat green berets for breakfast. Yeah. And right now I'm very hungry.
Remember when I said I'd vote for you last?
I lied.
For me, it's the most purely joyous Arnie movie. It makes me very, very happy, which is weird given how many people die in it.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's joy. It's like his Singing in the Rain.
It is.
It's better than Singing in the Rain. And it's the bit where he goes shopping is just, that's the Gene Kelly moment. That's the Gene Kelly moment. Yeah. Number five, Total Recall.
That's a great movie. I don't know if I put it higher, but I feel like I should put it higher.
No, I don't prefer it to Commando, though in many ways it's just a better film than Commando.
In many ways, mostly quality related.
Some of them maybe to do with quality.
It is very good, actually. I haven't seen it for a while, but there's great stuff with, like,
it's very inventive.
Arnie talking to himself on the screen and having to remove the thing out of his nose.
He has to pull that marble out of his nose.
That's
his prosthetic Arnold head.
That's a great scene.
Yeah.
And then Ronnie Cox's Cohagen. It probably has the greatest villain in any Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. Number four, True Lies.
Yes.
Oh, what a film.
A masterpiece.
Horse in the lift.
A glorious, lovable masterpiece.
I feel like a lot of films at the moment are paying homage, either deliberately or not deliberately. John Wick 3 has got Keanu on a horse.
Yeah,
that's true.
Clearly, True Lies.
Clearly. And
Mission Impossible Fallout had what is clearly a tribute to True Lies with the bar from
Fight in the Toilet.
Yeah.
So basically, it's the greatest film I've made.
Fourth.
Yeah, surpassed only by number three, The Terminator.
Yes.
See, I think I put this... No, I did put it
this
number three.
This is its rival.
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
Because it can't go above the other two.
No, it can't.
Everybody
right.
put this at number three.
Yeah.
And we have a bit of a shock coming up next. Because for the first time in our long history of doing the ranking, we have a tie for the top spot.
No Whoa. Way. No
Joint
way.
First place.
Joint first place. Jingle All the Way and Sabotage. Did not see that coming. Yep, first place. Joint first place goes to Terminator 2 and Predator.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I'm down with that because I was massively, like Natalie Imbruglia, torn between these two.
That's fair.
And I found it very, very hard to separate them. In the end, I did put Predator as my number one, but it could have gone either way depending on my mood.
Yeah, I think if you sat me down of an evening and asked me which Arnold Schwarzenegger movie I would like to watch after I'd said Commando, I would say I would go Predator if I had a choice between Predator and Terminator 2, not least because it's shorter. But that movie, there's something about that movie that just gets me.
Yeah, I go back and watch Predator probably more than any other Arnie movie because I find all those, you know, like adorably ridiculous macho men sort of comforting and amusing.
It's why you like spending time with us.
You I guess feel a lot like Shane Black must have done while making that film, surrounded by
the testosterone
here. I feel like that
James,
Spanish girl in the jungle.
You son of a bitch.
Oh my god, they're
the
arm wrestling.
Oh, I got you pushing too many pencils.
And can I just say that I think in Kevin Peter Hall's The Predator, it probably has the greatest villain of any Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. But also, it is...
It would have if Van Damme had played it.
That's for damn sure.
The Predator's doing this damn sure.
No. Why has the Predator got a boner? Oh, no.
No.
No. Okay.
The thing that pushed Van Damme over the edge was that the Predator at one point has to jump down a little ledge, and he was like, I could break my leg doing that. I'm not doing that. Because it had those sort of reverse, like, bendy legs, like horse legs. You know, there's probably a name for it. And so he was on little stilt things, and he said it was dangerous. Health and safety. Can't mess about with these things.
You certainly can't. And one last shout out to Predator, which is the only Arnold Schwarzenegger movie to end with Dad's Army, Aloha Low style end credits, in which the people you have seen gutted, eviscerated, shot, stabbed, skewered, and burned alive for the last 2 hours come back to life and grin at the camera.
You have been watching.
Flayed. Don't forget Flayed.
Flayed. Of course, Flayed.
But notice they all wink at the camera except for Arnold, where they use footage from the film. Yes. It's like he clearly refused to do it.
I'm not doing that bullshit. Nile. Okay. Anyway, that's it. You have been listening to Nick Dissemblin.
Hello. Bye.
So addled is he by Arnold that he does not know the difference between hello and goodbye. You've been listening to Helen O'Hara.
Toodaloo.
You've been listening to James Dyer.
I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
I'm calling HR.
And you've been listening to me,
no,
Chris Hewitt.
Give them to me.
No, that's not going to happen.
Your clothes, give them to me.
And you've been listening to me, Chris Hewitt. That is it for our Arnold Schwarzenegger edition of The Ranking. I don't know what the next one's going to be, but I hope this was as much fun for you to listen to as it was for us, but we know that's not going to be the case. And that's it. Goodbye. See you at the party, Empire Podcast listeners. Bye.